Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody out there at Blog Talk Carolina. It's me, Mr. Big, with yet another show of Radio Free Mafia. And today we have a really cool special guest. In fact, I was minding my own business in my backyard digging a hole. Maybe get rid of something. I can't say anything more of that. And these two young ladies came up to me and made me an offer I could not refuse. Not only are they the two most beautiful women I have seen in probably this lifetime, but the way of making me a special offer was really cool, really impressive. It made my day. It made my lifetime. So with no further ado, let's bring on the two famous people of all time. And I'm going to mispronounce their name as always, too. Hopefully they can correct me. Now, let's just have them say who they are so I don't screw it up too badly. So what is the show you guys have?
We are Hex and Arcane. We're a horror host TV show.
Ooh, okay, great. And what are your given names, ladies?
I'm Celeste Parker, and my sister.
I'm Morgan Parker.
Outstanding. So what got you started in doing horror television?
I started out on the horror host show Dead Gears Dark Coffin Classics. Recently, they did a revision of the show and went a different way in terms of what they wanted to do with it. And so that left Morgan and I showless, and we weren't ready to be done entertaining people and showing horror movies. So we started our own.
Outstanding. I really like the first episode. Hey, where can we see the first episode at right now, ladies, if you wanted to check it out?
Vimeo.com/HexandArcane.
Outstanding. Will you be doing you have a webpage? What's your webpage again?
Our webpage is www.HexandArcane.com, and you can email us at HexandArcaneHorror@gmail.com.
Outstanding. Now, will you guys be embedding the Vimeo player on your webpage so we can see the shows on the webpage?
Yes, the first show is on the webpage. If you go to hexandarcane.com and you go to our shows, our first show is up there. We're going to be continuing to put shows out roughly every week, and they will be up there. They'll be on our Vimeo and any future platforms. We're working on a few right now, so we'll have more info on our webpage.
Outstanding. Thank you so much. I really like the first show. I like the movie that you selected. I like how you guys interacted with the film. I really like the field trip in Chicago. It made my day.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome.
Morgan actually took me on that little trip.
Really?
Yes. Celeste originally planned for us to go see Resurrection Mary, and at the last minute, she appeased me, and I was like, can we please go visit Al Capone? She said, okay.
I mean, I can say for a fact that my good friend Al Capone really liked your girls visiting him. He doesn't get as much company as he used to.
Since they
That's
moved
sad.
Him,
they moved him and stuff, yeah. And usually the people who go there don't have the appreciation of him that you guys do. Unlike 90% of the people who do visit him, you at least know a little bit about him.
Interesting and controversial figure. So there's a lot of cool stuff you can find out about him.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
Very much
so. What got you guys interested in horror?
Ooh, I've been into horror since I was, I would say, a little girl. I remember my cousin taking me to go see Sleepy Hollow in the theater with Johnny Depp. And my mother, God bless her, old school Catholic, and I had been refusing to go to church, so she put on The Exorcist for me at 8 years old to scare me to go back. And I loved it.
Yeah.
And for me, I have a fascination with psychology, and that's taken me on a trip to many different interests, one of which has been horror, because it interacts with that kind of side of the mind that you don't always want to experience, and that sort of led me into a lot of interest in a lot of darker things and things that scare people and why people are scared and sort of overcoming fears.
Interesting. Yeah, I myself like the psychology of fear and what freaks people out, what makes people do dark things. When I wrote Dark Minds, Bloody Hands, my book on serial killers, I learned a little bit about that situation, and what I learned scared the hell out of me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of scary people out there that exist. We don't know who they are, which is really frightening.
I remember being very small and hearing about Jeffrey Dahmer on the news, and I was told to leave the room, and being a little kid, you know, you're like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah, what's going on, yeah.
There's that fascination.
It does. I mean, I was freaked out. I was in Milwaukee at the time that he was running the streets, right? And I had the pleasure of speaking to one of the detectives that worked that case back in the day.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's really scary for a lot of people that it was involved in there. But yet,
yeah,
there's people that make Jerry Dahmer look like a walk in the park. You got the BT, the torture-bound killer, the DBK guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he was
Richard Ramirez.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with my good friend, our killer, right? I mean, people, his wife caught him acting weird. I mean, weird, all capital letters, right?
Yes.
And to me, you'd think most people in that situation would pick up the phone and say, hey, I walked into this room, this is what my husband, this is what he was doing, this isn't that typical, we might have a problem, right? I would.
Right.
Right? But
yeah,
it seems that they didn't care. I don't know, I mean, that whole thing really mystifies me, is why people don't do more when they see something unusual that, to me and you, right, would at least freak them out to the point of at least making a phone call and say, hey, I know what's going on, can we talk about it?
Yeah,
right.
I have a special spot in my heart for BTK because I used to read the case in school all the time. Like when I was in college, I would always read this case, and I was like, it would give me shivers, and I'm like, they're never going to solve this, you know? It's been dead for 20 years, and then they solved it, so I was riveted.
Yeah. It's some scary stuff. I mean, I'm sorry, I could talk all night about people like BDK and Rich Ramirez, right, and the like.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm really, really glad that none of them are in a situation where they'll be walking the streets anytime soon.
Yes, thankfully not. Whew.
Yeah. I mean, back in the day, God, I'm old as shit. Back in the day, in high school, hitchhiking was a thing. And people talk about hitchhiking. I'm going to hitchhike to Dallas. I'm going to hitchhike to Green Bay. I'm going to hitchhike to Los Angeles, right? And now I look back at those conversations, and I'm wondering how many of those people ever made it to where they were going.
Right. Oh, yes. I have a family member. Sorry, Celeste. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, I have a family member that used to hitchhike back and forth to California from Wisconsin here, and when she told me these stories, I was thinking, oh, my God, you're lucky you made it back.
Yeah. I mean, to me, again, this is me. If I see someone hitchhiking, I will stop and see if they need help of some sort. Maybe the car is broken down or they need some call of law enforcement or something, right? But I won't, other than that situation and find out they're okay, I'm not going to take the next step and invite them in my car, because I know who they are. I have no clue, right? I mean, if the car is broken down, I'll drive them to the gas station, I would call the police for them. I mean, that's what we all should do. You care
right
for other human beings. But that risk of getting in that car with somebody or letting someone else in that car, God save us.
I am ashamed to admit how many hitchhikers I've picked up.
We've had
been a lot.
We've had this discussion.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You guys really intrigue me. You really, really, truly intrigue me. And I have the privilege of knowing Celeste a little bit on some other things that we do together, right? So I've known her for a while, but listening to you guys interact the way you do really intrigues the hell out of me, which I find very interesting. I don't get that a lot.
Well, thank you. She is my sister.
I have this interesting thing. I mean, and when you go to horror films, I like, I'm an old man, so I like the Hammer stuff, right? I like the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to find a way to get it. I mean, Hammer, if you're familiar with Hammer vampire films of the 60s, right? You know way more about me than most people do, right? I mean, you absolutely know where my buttons are, right? But that's fine. I mean, yeah, the master films. And, yeah, the bad guy usually gets, you know, Dracula gets caught, he gets killed, those things happen, right? But still, they're fun, right? They're fun films.
Oh, yeah.
I let my grandkids watch those films. Yeah. They're not exploitative, so to speak. I mean, yeah, it's interesting stuff. But I understand you guys also are very much involved with the paranormal.
Yes. Oh, I love the paranormal.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That is one of the few things that actually genuinely terrifies and freaks me out, and so, of course, I'm fascinated by it and pursue it.
Of course. I'm sorry. Yeah, I mean, that's interesting stuff. I know that some people... Well, okay, let me back this way. My problem is, I like the paranormal, too. I like what we have going on, what we get told versus what's really going on sort of stuff, right? I'm big in that. I love conspiracy theories. I love the idea that things are going on beyond the keen, right? Beyond the norm, so to speak, right? But I really, 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 with a passion, hate the fake shit you see so much on TV.
Oh,
yes.
You know,
I 100% agree. I only care about real ghost stories and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, once in a while,
and it's sensationalized.
I don't mind. Yeah, well, when I watch a fake one, say, on the Travel Channel, and they move something, you know, how does that move? Well, I can do those tricks. I'm no professional magician, but I can make the ball move, and I don't have to be in the room to do it. You know, I can do all those things. I can get dots on a film. I can do all kinds of those things easily, right? You think all the stories out there, they at least go someplace and say, this is the history of what's going on. This is what we see. This is what we don't know what's going on. And then talk about that versus let's make the ball move sort of stuff.
Right. Ghost Adventures is one that sticks in my crawl. And I can't help it, but it does. That show,
yeah.
I just can't watch them. I was like, this isn't interesting because it's sensationalized. The real stuff is interesting enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
I like to see, my pet peeve, I can't think of the name of it, is they always go to the small house. They always find something that they look into, right? And the other day, we were watching one here, and they found a key, and they said it was something satanic. Okay, it's like, okay, how do you know it's satanic? Oh, because they said it was, right? Okay, there's no sign that says this is a satanic key, and some guy says, hey, this is Satanism. He doesn't know Satanism for the hole in the ground. If you're going to claim something, at least back up the facts, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Same. At least be legit.
At least be legit, right? I was involved in some type of online talk show thingy with video, and they're talking about wanting to know information about the LDS, Latter-day Saints. And I had a unique suggestion. Versus talking about what you think the LDS is with people online, why don't you call up the LDS Church? They'll be more than happy to have someone talk to you about that and tell you what the religion means and what the religion doesn't mean versus guessing, right? How easy is that to do, right? Anyway, that's my rant. I could rant on that all day. So, ladies.
It's completely understandable. I would rather have somebody come to me with education and debate with an educated opinion than for somebody that, you know, doesn't, like you said, doesn't know a hole in the ground from their head.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I want to know, I live in Mercer, Wisconsin, right? And I live in an old house, and we got all... I live in an older home, and we got stories about the kids growing up and stuff. Those are stories. We can't prove it. They're not family stories. It's the shit that we say happened, right?
Right.
Believe it or not, don't care. The interesting things talking on the table. But I would like to know, and I think Racine is perfect for Lovecraft, right? Because we're on the water. We have a lot of weird things that happen in this city that doesn't make a lot of sense. It folds itself easily into, are we the portal into another dimension? Do Cthulhu cultists run up and down the river? Did the mayor receive sacrifice of all children in the basement of City Hall?
I haven't heard that one.
oh, oh, we could go there. We could go there. You know, the idea. I mean, I'm an old man. I keep saying that because I am. And I say a lot of things that don't make me very popular with politicians and the like around here. I don't care. I do a lot of true crime stuff. I've been told not to do this. I've been told not to do that, which is fine. Don't care. The only time I've legitimately been afraid for my safety was when I was looking into the rumors of child pornography and sex cults in Racine. And once I did, it's real weird. And I do video, and I was asked to do a quote for somebody who was going to set up a bandage place, and I'm going to do live video feed, right? And which could be done, easy enough done. But when I got in there and I looked around and said, there's something more here going on that I want to know. And when I made further inquiries about what really was going on, I was told to stay away. And I don't think I ran that fast in my life. Because there's some shit I don't plan.
They're always watching you. Always.
Yeah.
If you're going to try and expose them, you've got to watch yourself.
Well, we know the Franklin child, we know about the Franklin conspiracy, right?
No.
Oh, my God. The Franklin... It starts with the old boys town in Nebraska.
Oh, okay.
And the story is that people from boys town, both men, boys and girls, were used as sexual whatever to rich and famous people, right? And
okay.
That when a number of these people tried to get help, right? Some of them went to jail perjury, right? Someone went to jail for perjury. A detective that was working on the case, airplane fell mysteriously out of the sky. Now, airplane accidents do happen. They do. We both know this, right? But all
right.
These things going on at the same time makes you wonder. And then
have
our good friend... Then we have our good friend Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Here we go. And let me share one thing that scared the hell out of me about Jeffrey Epstein. Both in New York and in Epstein's Island, they found a dental chair. Okay? Weird enough thing, right?
Oh.
What do you do with... Somebody else with this is going, what do you do with a dental chair? I mean, okay,
you knock
why
the
not?
Person out that's in it.
Right, absolutely, right? And then you think this, the one thing used to identify who dead children are dental records, okay?
Yes.
So what happens if the child, no longer has teeth?
There's no way to identify them.
Absolutely no way to identify them. And so, I'm not saying, Jeffrey Epstein's dead, so he's not consuming slander. I'm not saying those things strictly happen in those places. I'm not. But it makes you wonder. We know what was going on. We know the investigations that aren't taking place. Again, we got the what are we told versus what really is going on, right?
Right. And look at all the people that were named as going in and out of that island and to his other residences, too. They don't want to be caught. They don't want to go down.
No, they were. There's a guy, at Twitter, he is Enty. He also has a Patreon podcast. He loves talking about Jeffrey Epstein. It isn't one of these guys who says, this is what I think. He'll tell you the facts from court documents.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets scary who these people are, who they are, how they're connected. And he goes into how many times they have the black book that Epstein had. Some people only listed it one time with one number, which could be, he meets me at some party, some place, he writes down my phone number for whatever reason. Doesn't mean nothing, right? Then he gets people with four or five entries where he gets all their phone numbers, all their emails. That's what
you know exactly what he's doing that for.
Absolutely. Exactly what he's going there for, right? And then you wonder this, too, is it seems that Prince Andrew was really, really good friends with Jeffrey Epstein. We know that Prince Andrew might have issues when it comes to his sexual perversions. Now, he's an adult male. He can do what he wants to. Don't care. But what happens if all the people he's doing these weird sexual things with weren't necessarily adults? Or they're willingly? That's a whole other story. Right?
Yeah, I don't care what any consenting adults do with each other, but if it's someone that cannot consent or children that
right.
or animals, that's not cool.
That's not cool. Absolutely. I think we're all in agreement when it comes to that. It makes you think, well, we don't know what's going on. I mean, it's fascinating to me to think for a moment there's all kinds of things going on that we do not know about, right?
Right.
Or we would,
right.
which is, again, when people are over the age of 18 and can't make that as consent, don't care. If people want to believe that whatever religion they believe in, don't care. You know, not my problem. But when they start hurting other living creatures doing that religious practice, that's a whole other situation.
Right.
100% right there. And we know that Epstein already had a history of sexual abuse on minors.
Yep.
So you got to look at the psychology behind it, too, and what he was involved in. And
right.
You know.
Which has links to the mafia because he was involved. I can't think of the name of the guy that owns Victoria's Secret. He worked for that individual for a while. That individual might be linked to one of the mafia families in New York. It's like, where does this shit end?
Right.
The
more I delve into it, the more I feel like they're all interconnected. I think there are some good ones still out there. I know, I can't say I know, but the consensus that I've come to is like Brad Pitt's one of them that's not involved in that.
Sure.
I know that they say that there's several Hollywood figures that are.
Well, yeah.
And it's highly concerning.
I mean, to me, again, we're going to assume that all this stuff is in free will and is age. Go for it. And to me,
right.
Nobody's going to walk up to me and say, Wayne, I'm going to be in your next B film, right? Let's have sex. That's not going to happen, right? That's never going to happen. If I walked up to some woman and said, hey, my name is Wayne Clayman, I make some really, really shitty movies, let's have sex, I'll give you a role, and they're not stupid, well, that's another situation altogether different, right? Let's do it, right? But
you might get slapped.
You might get slapped. I mean, I might even like that, who knows? But when a guy pressures a woman to have sex,
yeah.
It gets weird. It's illegal. It should be illegal, but it's not. I can't believe it's not illegal, right? And my question then becomes, were the agents? Because if I was hit on, and I would be hit on, I would go to my agent and say, this is what happened, this is where people in the room with me, I don't want to do this anymore. It's up to you and my agent to fix it, right? Why don't they fix it?
Right.
Wasn't say.
I think
right,
people are so worried that they're not going to get work after that nobody's going to want to work with them, so they just sort of accept it.
And I think, too, the stigma that comes with it, it's shameful. And when they go through the courts and they say, we don't believe you.
Yeah.
But I also feel it's different for men, too. And I feel for men that men do get sexually assaulted. Men
do
have things happen to them as well. But the culture is I don't know. I'm trying not to dig myself a hole here, but I feel that both men and women can be sexually assaulted, but we
right.
believe women a lot more, I feel, too, and not to downplay
right.
their
experiences. We expect men
their experiences.
To enjoy being sexually harassed.
Yes, that's it. That's exactly it.
That's exactly it. We think that, I read this time to time, when they catch a female teacher doing something to their students, why is the kid complaining? Why is this 15-year-old complaining? She's a hot 30-year-old woman, right? Who wouldn't want that?
Right,
well,
that's
the culture. But coming from a family with a lot of sexual abuse issues, I can assure you that's not the case.
No, it's not.
Boys, girls, whatever, they have boundaries. Right. They want those boundaries respected.
Right. And I have people that are very close to me that are men that were, assaulted and growing up even. And their experience was completely different than the women that I know.
Well,
and it's heartbreaking.
And then you get and the difficult side is, and of course, we read about someone whose name I can horribly mispronounce. She was she's the daughter of the famous Italian director. She was doing The Famous Cook before she flipped out to run off the young kid and then he committed suicide. I can't think of his real name. No. Coppola's still much alive. She's Italian.
Right.
The movie I'm referring to is Heart is Lonely Hunter, where the woman in question, he was underage and she was very much of age, and yet she developed a sexual interest and took it a little bit far. And, of course, she, you know, got caught, and, of course, she denied it. She's, you know, it is what it is. But, of course, the young boy went through hell trying to deal with it.
Yes.
You know, then we have Kevin Spacey.
I'm trying to think of the name.
Then we have Kevin Spacey, you know, who preyed on boys and young men in England.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. Anyway, enough of that. But I'm absolutely so impressed with you guys being involved with the paranormal and the weird parts of the world that we don't quite understand. Will you be doing anything with the paranormal on your TV show, ma'am?
I think so.
Good.
We
have
contact.
Yeah, they do ghost hunting, so we can't wait to work with them. We're hoping to join some ourselves and see what happens. We've done a few investigations in the past previously, so we hope to bring that into our current show and have some fun with it and see if we see anything and also learn more about it.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I think the key to this is knowledge is, and understanding what is going on versus what we're told. Again, I think it's totally four or five different things. I mean, we don't really know what's going on, do we?
No. I always feel like there's something deeper behind it, and I don't know if that's just me as a person, but I do question pretty much everything.
You almost have to. I mean, you know, you have to look around and ask yourself this question, what is really going on? What is it? And I don't think lizards are running the world. I don't. I really don't. That's me. But something more going on. I think that, in my opinion, that we do have weird, eerie places. Here we go. You guys know who Jan Keel is?
No.
I don't think so.
I'm crying. He wrote the Mothman Prophecy.
Oh, my goodness.
Book.
Okay, yeah.
He was a big UFO kind of a guy, big man in black kind of a guy. And
it went right over
this.
My head. I'm ashamed.
It's okay. he was a big guy who believed that his thing was not so much about the Mothman and UFOs. His big thing was men in black. His next big thing was he looked at statistically when people saw UFOs and or when these outbreaks occurred. And that them and cryptids usually occurred in times of high society stressors, right?
Yes.
So with today,
like now.
So my question is this: will we see an outbreak of UFOs? Well, we kind of started with those X things, right? Will we see more Men in Black activity? What do you guys think?
I don't know because everyone's staying home. They can see anything.
what I tell people is look to the skies, and there are certain indicators of UFOs up there. Most of them, you think you see a plane up there, you think you see two, three, maybe four. Now, that's not how air traffic works. One of those is generally a legit plane, and the other three, you got to kind of wonder, and you watch their directions that they go, and it tells you a lot about it. I studied under Mary Sutherland for many years. I met her when I was about 15, and I stuck with her till my mid-20s, and she's very much into UFOs, paranormal, things like that. Very smart woman, very knowledgeable. I absolutely love her. She taught me so much. And I've seen a couple UFOs in my life, and I know that they're UFOs, and you're not going to be able to tell me different. I was excited, actually, last week, maybe 2 weeks ago now, when those satellites went up because people were posting online, oh, there's strange lights in the sky. This is so cool. And then to find out they were 5G satellites, I was quite disappointed.
I thought
they were UFOs.
Yeah, I do believe that we have a lot of different things we can talk about on this show as time goes forward, because I think you guys are going to be really cool guests. One of the things I'm really excited to talk about down the line is your thoughts on witchcraft and the like, because there's so many different ideas about that. between the witchcraft, which is practiced by young girls in high school, and say Wicca, which is not the same thing, and the more, lack of a better word, traditional witchcraft that we would find in Western Europe.
Right.
I mean, that's a very interesting subject of itself.
Oh, yes, yes. That's a whole subject in itself. I guess to put it bluntly, I think a lot of it has become sensationalized as well. When I go online, that's all I see is young girls, like you said, you know, younger, I would say college age, because it's mostly the group that I hang out with, and, you know, they're all like, oh, we're witches now, and I'm thinking, oh, man, give it a couple years, you'll be back to Jesus.
Well, I mean, thinking, my big thing is the ones I knew back in the day, long ago, I'm a fat man, I'm a fat old man, right? For me to sit there as a fat old man and sit there, okay, I'm actually Thor of the God of Thunder, I'm not really 300 pounds, I'm really 185 pounds, worship me as a god, is ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous and insane and probably disgusting in a degree. I've yet to meet, how do I put this, because I may not be polite, I see the same thing with women involved in some aspects, especially in Wicca, where they see themselves as they want to be, which is fine, they can do what they want to, not what they might really look like. Does that make sense?
Yes, yes, and I think that comes from a sense of everybody wants to belong to something, and I think that's how they feel that they belong, because, you know, you are yourself, and you're supposed to be comfortable with it, and you're supposed to envision a higher self. And
right,
I see a lot of spells and a lot of witchcraft and things like that as just putting intentional, focused energy onto something, you know, in a similar way that prayer does. You're trying to put energy to something to make it come true.
Sure, absolutely. Be a prayer or be a circle, that's exactly what you're trying to do. And I'm not criticizing the practice of someone's faith. They can do what they want to do. You know, it's just this.
Right.
My criticism is that, like the guy I met the other day, a year ago, he wanted me to help him find a job. I was more than happy to do it. I gave him a couple leads. So the guy goes, one of my leads I gave him, which I'm appreciative that he did, right? And he showed up with vampire eyes.
Okay. Oh, Lord.
So the guy I sent him to gave me a call and said, Wayne, your friend showed up here. What the hell is going on? But, again, there's people that thinks that's acceptable, that they get some job because somebody's going to be impressed with that. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to come over and watch horror movies with me some night and come over with vampire eyes, don't care. It might fit in. Cool. We might have a nice time with that, right? But if we're trying to do something as professionals, unless it's a rule that you show up with vampire eyes, don't, please.
That's where common sense, I think, comes into play. You know, when I'm in the tattoo shop and I see these young people getting their face tattooed, and nothing against face tattoos, I've seen some really beautiful ones out there, but I'm thinking, what if you decide to go for an office job or a very high level one day, and you've got that on your face?
Because
most times, you put it in a spot that you feel or none.
Morgan, we're losing you.
Yeah, thank you. I was thinking we were losing Morgan.
Oh, am I here? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, like I say about the face tattoos is think smart before you do that because it's not coming off.
It's common sense. And if I have a job, if I am an employer, and your job is to be the customer service kind of a person, be the clerk at the front counter, whatever that might be. If you're supposed to be the face of my business, please don't have a facial tattoo. Now, if you're working as a janitor in third shift, don't care.
Right.
You know, but again, common sense.
And I have different feelings on this. Like, colored hair to me is way different than a face tattoo. You can change the color of your hair.
You can have red hair, blue hair, green hair, don't care. You can have them all, don't care, right?
Right.
The facial tattoos, here you go, pet peeve, number 50,000. Idiots, I can read runes, right? One of the last skills I learned, right? I can read runes, mm-hmm. right? Know the runes and what they mean before you have them tattooed on your body.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like the Chinese
right.
tattoos. Please.
Know what
Unless
they mean.
You know exactly what that means.
because
I've seen that happen,
like,
too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like the Volknat, don't. And you tell somebody what those tattoos they mean, right, that the runes do have a meaning, right? Oh, no, because
right.
I'm so powerful, I can dispel that meaning. No, you can't, son. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen.
No, that's not how this works. It's not how any of this works.
Absolutely. Right, but go for it anyway, right? You know, it's the thing is, they don't... I don't think anybody teaches anything anymore. I mean, I learned because I read a lot, right? I knew people, I could talk to them, right? And I knew the difference between a rational human being and a nutcase, right? I was lucky. I don't think a lot of these young kids have anybody to talk to or they get online.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very easy, I feel, to infiltrate young minds online.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I live on Twitter. I hate Facebook with passion, so I live on Twitter. And I met so many people that are experts in so many fields. One week, they're a cashier show expert, and now they're disease experts. Who knew? Who knew, right?
I know. It's amazing.
Amazing. Amazing. And the thing is now, like that cult, a new cult that got busted up in New York State. NXIVM, is it? That girl who got caught up and was from Smallville, and from Smallville was in it?
I believe so.
Okay. They believe that we're, again, they can't believe anything they want to believe, go for it, right? But they had people with more money than we'll ever see in 30,000 lifetimes, right? Do shit
right.
that if somebody came to me and said, we want you to tattoo our leader's name on your chest, and by the way, we want you to take pictures of your genitals and you having sex, we'd get a fist in their face.
Yeah, no, thank you. I have to politely refuse that offer.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But then we got Jim Jones, who convinced people to drink the poison Kool-Aid.
Right, and that's also the fascination of the cult leaders, too, like David Koresh and Jim Jones.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm trying to think of who else. There's another real famous one. And
That's a couple right off the bat get-go. I mean, anybody can start it. Anybody, I should say anybody, that's not quite true. I can start a cult with Paul's ears.
Charles Manson.
A lot of people, I'm sorry? Charles Manson, yes.
Charles Manson, yep.
He, an interesting kind of a guy. And to think that back in the day, long ago, I knew a guy who, let's call him Tony, who started his own little offshoot of a Wicca group. He got himself four or five girls involved who had jobs. Tony didn't have a job because, he was studying to become a new high priest. So they were working to give him his money, right? He was basically pimping them out, right, and doing other things with them as well. But they believed so much they would do anything for him. I do mean anything.
Yes, and this is the stuff where psychology comes into play, too.
Absolutely.
And I don't want to say it's profiling, but it kind of is you look at the common factors between these head cult leaders and whatnot, they have the very charming characteristic. They can draw people to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They
Even
lavish
Josh
affection.
Even Angel from Tiger King.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, it's absolutely.
He has that energy.
It's almost
yeah,
like a methodical way
mm-hmm.
of drawing
make,
the people in.
They can make someone with a low self-esteem feel very, very important to them. You know.
Yes,
and that's
exactly how they do it.
Absolutely. That's one thing that's important that we do when we have kids. I mean, I got kids, I got grandkids. And one thing we did growing up is we made sure they had good self-esteem, that they knew the difference between a good friend and someone who's trying to use them and things like that. And I wish more parents did the same versus, hey, it's a computer, Jenny. Go online for a while and play with your friends.
Right.
Yeah.
When you're a parent, you have to be involved, you have to be hands-on.
You have to be. And even they don't like it much. You know, you have to be hands-on. You have to be involved. I mean,
if my child tells me I hate you, Mom, then I know I'm doing my job.
with our youngest now, who now a nurse practitioner, we went through 3 or 4 years of absolute hell, right? But now she's a nurse practitioner, she's married, she has a couple of kids. She changed her life around a lot. And from the time that she was 15 to, I think, a year ago, she was working full-time and going to school full-time.
That's great.
That is awesome.
Wonderful. Right, it's all due to my wife.
I love that story.
Yeah, it's all due because of my wife's involvement with her, my involvement too, a little bit, growing up and making sure, you know, they knew what was going on, right? Supporting them when we needed to and being disciplinarians when we needed to, and I always got to play the bad guy. You know, when they first thing they did when they had a boyfriend, because we had 3 girls, right? The first thing when they came home with a boyfriend, they got to meet me, right? I was told to go away. I was told them to go away to do something else, and they would tell stories about me. Don't know what they said, but they're absolutely scared of me. Right? But that's the, I mean, because we care for our kids, right? I mean, we care for our children.
Right.
Most people do. Yeah. And most people do. I'm sorry, ma'am. We've talked out way much time. I know that you guys both have Mother's Day events coming up in the morning. I don't want to keep you up all night and spoiling those because you're so tired you can't move. So, tell you what, let's do this weekend. Let's make a date to do another show next weekend. Can we do that?
Yes,
certainly.
I think so. I'm available.
Okay.
Yes,
so,
and we have to go finish burying this body, but yeah, we would love to.
Yeah,
no.
They kind of escaped and.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't like to be sacrificed, especially to the fire guys. I don't know what's up about. Oh, we got to talk about Wicker Man.
Okay,
we got to talk
here.
About that film.
Bless you
okay.
guys.
Have fun, ladies. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you so much for having
us. All right.
Us, Wayne.
Talk to you next weekend. Thank you.
No,
get the chainsaw. Okay. Bye.
Get the chainsaw. Yeah. All right.
Bye.
Nice show. What a nice show with these two nice young ladies. And what was really nice is they came in at the last minute. They said they had some time today, so we brought them on. I'm happy they were able to come on. So those sacrifices gave him, that's part of it. I'm sure those sacrifices volunteered to be sacrificed. You know how those things go. But I appreciate everybody coming to listen. I appreciate you go to their webpage and check out. Please check out the shows that they do, and hopefully they'll be on next week without the problems with sacrifices. And we'll talk to you all soon then. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.